you'd bless. God, your will be done. God, we could leave, Lord, being different, God, from how we come in. We love you, God, and we thank you for all you do for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach for just a little bit about this certain man right here who was lame from his mother's womb. And I preach on this thought here tonight, from lame to lifted. He asked for gold, but he got grace. Hey, instead of silver, he got salvation. You know, in this old world right here, there's people running to and fro, seeking the things of this world right here. But you know, one of these days, whatever a man acquires in this old world, whatever riches, whatever land, whatever houses he may have, he's going to leave it all behind. And all that matters in the end is that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know that your soul has been saved, that you've got a home in heaven, because we're all going to leave this old world one day. And I'm glad tonight I've been saved. I'm prepared for that day when I leave this old world. Now I want you to notice in chapter number 3, there's a meeting that takes place. A meeting that takes place. In verse number 1 says, Peter and John went up together into the temple, the house of God, a place where the presence of God was present. And you know, I'm thankful that we've got a house of God right here at Liberty Baptist Church. Amen. But I'm reminded through the scriptures tonight that the temple of God is here in me. And the Lord abides within. This is just a building right here. It's the most beautiful place in Bowdoin, Georgia. It's the place where the people of God can come together and worship God. But let me tell you, and it's a blessing when the presence of God's here. Amen? But let me tell you, it's just an empty building unless this temple right here has got the Lord God magnifying himself within it. And I'll tell you something else about this temple right here. If God's going to dwell within it and I'm going to feel his presence and his power, I'm going to have to keep this temple cleaned. Amen? I ought to reverence what God has done within me. Hey, and you too, if you're a child of God. We ought to reverence this place right here. It's a place that people have sacrificed, gave their tithes, they worked, and they prayed and provided a place right here for us to come together. Look about what God has done for us. Amen. Ain't it God amazing? He's amazing what he's done for us and given us a house of God and setting us in the old paths right here at this place to show our children and our grandchildren that our Redeemer lives. And he lives within, and he'll meet with us down at the house of God if we'll just come in here cleaned up and ready to meet with him. The church represents the presence of God, and it is the pillar and ground of truth. Amen? We ought to be careful that we always stay lined up with this Bible right here at Liberty Baptist Church. Amen. You say amen right there, because there's too many places today that's wandered off the old paths, that's got into the entertainment business and the different things like that to draw great crowds within. But let me tell you something. It takes the Word of God, it takes the truth of God to go out and convict man and to get them saved. Amen. So notice in this meeting that takes place, the temple, the house of God, but the timing, it's the ninth hour. A timing of prayer. The time of prayer. They were faithful men, and it was an hour to gather together and pray. Let me tell you something. It's still, in the day that we live, it's a good time to gather together and pray. It's a good time to be faithful in the assembling at the house of God. He told us in the book of Hebrews to forsake not the assembly, didn't he? But so much the more as we see the day approaching. I appreciate you being here tonight at the house of God on this rainy and rough night outside. And we're not to forsake this thing of assembling ourselves at the house of God. The temple, the timing at this place right here, there's a transition that was taking place. A transition taking place. The temple was the place where they'd come together. In the Old Testament, they'd have a high priest there. He would make sacrifices for himself. He would make sacrifices for the people. He would go into within the veil, the Holy of Holies there, and he would put the blood there, sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat for the sins of himself and for the people there. But this transition that's taken place, when Christ gave up the ghost on Calvary's cross, the Bible says that the earth shook. and that the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and it opened up a new way. Now we can go into the holy of holy place. We have a throne of grace tonight that we can approach boldly, and we don't have to go through a high priest somewhere. When, although we do have a high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can approach boldly. We can go in and we can call upon him, and we can find mercy and grace to help us in time of need. So there was a meeting that takes place here. Peter and John goes into the temple. And let me tell you, things was about to pick up as they got there. But notice not only the meeting in the place, but the ministers that were present. Peter and John, they were preachers. They were not priests, but they were preachers. God called, Holy Ghost filled men of God. They were faithful men, and they had a purpose. And they were faithful in prayer. They were faithful in their preaching. And things will pick up when a man of God is faithful in these areas. Amen? In his presence, in his purpose, in his preaching. Amen? You know, I thought as I was studying this right here, Brother Ken, I thought back when I was coming up as a lost man. I remember some faithful preachers. Hey, they scared the devil out of me. And just to be around them, they scared me. But you know what? They had the power of God upon them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And just to look upon them, just to talk to them, it made me nervous, because a Holy Ghost conviction would come upon me when I got around them. Oh, I thank God for preachers tonight. I'm talking about real preachers. I'm talking about God-called preachers. I'm not talking about preachers that took upon themselves that they'd take it on to a profession and a place for them to have a job. I'm talking about real men of God, the ministers that were present. But then in verse 2 and 3, you'll find a man with a problem. It says, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This man was lame. He was afflicted. He was in agony. He was separated from those that were inside the temple there. It's a great picture of somebody that's lost, isn't it? Amen? Lame, afflicted, afflicted by sin. I remember when I was in that condition in my life, searching for things of the world, things to bring pleasure, things to bring happiness. But you know, the things that I tried out in this old world, the joy and the happiness, it was just for a time. Then it would pass away. Then you'd have to go to something else. The things of this old world don't satisfy. Never will it satisfy a man's true needs for his life. This man was lame. He couldn't get up. He was laid there at the gate of the temple every day to seek things that would be like money, or maybe it was food, whatever anybody would give him there. But those things were just given to him on a daily basis. You know, the next day he'd need the same things over and over again. But I'm glad when God saves somebody, it's a done deal. Amen. He saves and he satisfies. You never have, once God has saved, you never have to worry about dying and going to hell again. Boy, what a blessing that is, to be able to lay down your head at night and know that if the Lord takes you out during the night, that you'll lift your eyes in heaven, not in hell. Amen. That's a blessing to have that satisfaction, to have that peace within your heart. This man with a problem, he was lame. He was laid at the Beautiful gate there daily. And he was looking. He was looking. But he was looking for the wrong things. You know, people today, the devil's got so many things to offer today, hasn't he? There's people that are on drugs, thinking it's going to give them peace. There's people on alcohol looking for peace and for things that satisfy this old flesh right here. But I'm telling you, it's a pathway to destruction. This man was lame. He couldn't stand upon his own two feet, and he was like that from his mother's womb. That's the way a lost person is. You come into this world, you're conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity, and you're a sinner in need of salvation. We all have Adam's bloodline, and we all need to be saved by the goodness and grace of God. So we see a picture right here of a lost man, but he was a lame man. And he was looking for help through worldly things. And how sad that is today. I mean, you could have given him all the silver. You could have given him all the gold of Fort Knox, and he'd still been a lame man. He'd still been laying there without any hope. He needed somebody to pick him up. He needed somebody to carry him there on a daily basis. And what a sad picture it was for this lame man right here. I don't know. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us how old he was. It doesn't tell us, his age. It doesn't tell us who his mother, his father was. It just says that he was laid there daily. It doesn't say how many years, how many days, day after day after day he'd been carried there. But really, he was getting no help for his life, for the true things that he really needed in his life. Not only this man with a problem here, but notice a miracle that's performed in verse 4 and 6 right here. Notice 4 through 6. It says, "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." You know, Sunday after Sunday, I wonder, you know, there's folks that pour in this house right here, Brother Ken, and in churches across the country, different places. I wonder what they really looking for. I wonder what they really need in their lives. You know, I remember when I was lost, sometimes I'd go to the church. You know, I was looking to see what people really had. I was lost, and I'd been to church some as a young boy, and I'd seen people filled with the Holy Ghost, and when God would get on them, it was an amazing sight to see a saint of God get up with the power of God on them and testify and shout. And boy, I was looking for something that was real. And you know, and within myself, I knew I didn't have what they had, but there was something about me that wanted it, but I just didn't know how to get there. I was like this lame man. I just couldn't get off the floor myself. I was lame myself. But I notice here there's a miracle that is performed. This old boy right here, he was lame. He was low as a man could get. He was lost, but he was loved. You know, I wonder how many people walked by that man going into the temple that day, and him there, maybe he had a pan or something sticking out, you know, and some people may have just walked on by. Some people may have thought, you know, thrown him a coin into there. But Peter and John, when they walked by and he asked an alms of them, I think Peter stopped. He said, "Look on us. Look on us." Can I tell you something, Brother Tim? There's people looking at you. There's people looking at you. You're the choir director at Liberty Baptist Church. Sister Sherry, y'all, everybody sitting on this front row right here, as people looking at you, as leadership in Liberty Baptist Church, make sure they see the right thing. Amen? And that's a big statement, ain't it? That's a big statement, because we're flesh. But let me tell you, we're ambassadors of Christ. Not just us in leadership, but everybody that professes the name of Jesus. You're an ambassador of Christ. And I guarantee you, it may be a grandchild. It may be a cousin. It may be a neighbor. Hey, it may be a classmate. But there's somebody looking at your life. And what a bold, confident statement Peter said when he said, "Look on us. Look on us." I've got a story to tell. I've got something that you need. And I want to show my Lord and Savior to you with my life, with my testimony. I've got a story to tell. And let me tell you something. Just as this miracle is about to be performed right here, Peter, you know, he not only saw a lame man, but most of all, he saw a lost man. You ever been out in a crowd somewhere, maybe it's at a ball field or just somewhere where there's a crowd of folks. Maybe you've seen a big ball game on TV where there's 100,000 plus people. You ever thought about, I wonder if how many saved people's in that crowd? That's crossed my mind many, many times. It's a sad thing to know that the majority of people in this old world dying and going to hell. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Amen. For straight's the gate and narrow's the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. Boy, what a sad verse in the Bible, isn't it? But listen to me. You may be the one that can lead somebody, point them to that gate. Look on us. Look on us. God help us. When they look at us, God help us to be looking at them, to be a help to them. Amen? And leading them in the right path. Now look what Peter said right here. This man was expecting to receive silver and gold from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." I wonder what that fellow was thinking when he made that statement. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I wonder if he'd ever heard the name of Jesus before. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. His name, God has given him a name that's above every name. That at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee is going to bow one of these days. And every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Listen, all these folks that deny him in this world today, all these God haters and Christ rejectors, they're going to fall before him one day, but it'll be too late. He's Lord of lords and he's King of kings. And I'm glad, thank God, I bowed in this life to him. Thank God I bowed before it was too late. At the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Notice this right here. Not only this miracle that's performed, but there's the miracle that's anointing. And Peter says, the Bible says in verse number 7, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and the ankle bones received strength. Let me say something right there just a minute. It don't hurt to lend somebody a helping hand. A person that gets saved, maybe it's a young person, maybe it's middle-aged, maybe it's an adult. But give them a hand. They got a lot to learn. Let me tell you something. They're going to stumble and fall. Don't push them down, but lift them up. Amen? I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect. And let me tell you something. We're prone to sin. We're prone to fall. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful that when I find myself falling, Jesus don't push me down. But he's there with a hand willing. If I'll just confess, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And there's no reason for us as children of God to put one another down. We need to lift each other up. And there's times in our lives when we'll be down and sin will get into our lives. We'll fall short of the glory of God. But there ain't no time to kill each other. It's time to help one another. Amen. This miracle's anointing is what I'm talking about right here. Notice this in verse number 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And I'm talking about this miracle's anointing. When Peter reached down and lifted him up, his worship changed. He was no longer on the outside, but he went into the temple. I remember when I was lost, I was happy on the outside most of the time. Unless I got weird about dying and going to hell, then I wished I was on the inside. But I was like that lame man. I couldn't get in. I didn't know what it was like to be in. He didn't know what it was like to be in. But once he got saved right there, it changed his total life. He was able to go in. Them old saints of God that I used to see testifying, Brother Ken, that I really noticed in that they really put fear on me.
Now I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have the Spirit of God. I know what it's like. Hey, he said that, notice what it said right here. He leaping up, stood. There's been times when I've been sitting on the pew and the Holy Ghost get on me and I'm on my feet before I know it. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost will do for you. He'll prod you, he'll fill you, he'll thrill you, and you'll jump up and you'll give glory to God and give praise to God for what he's done for you in your life. And you'll realize, you'll look around and you'll say, what in the world have I done? Amen. But it's all right to praise God. It's all right to just get beside yourself sometime and be thankful, amen, for what he's done for you in your life. You ain't got to die and go to hell. You can enjoy the good presence of God and the things of God. We can come together and worship him, amen. Church ought not to be dead, and we ought not to be dead. If church is dead, look in the mirror and see who's dead. Amen. I don't care if everybody in the house is dead. I ain't got to be dead. I got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. Don't sit around waiting on somebody else to jump up. You jump up. Amen. Well, we're good at quenching the Spirit of God, ain't we? Amen. Ain't nothing no more miserable in life than to go to the house of God, quench the Spirit of God, and then leave, and then have him grieved in your heart. Amen. It's miserable, ain't it? Man, I wish I'd have done what he told me to do. I wish I'd have testified. Boy, you ever sit in church in your testimony meeting and your heart's about to pound out of your chest and you sit there hanging on to the pew, and then the service changes and then boy, you just grieve. Your day is ruined. Y'all ever had a ruined day?
Yes, sir.
Amen. This old boy right here, his life changed that day. He went from the outside to inside. His wants changed. His walk changed. I'm glad God changed my walk. When I was lost, I was walking according to the course of this world. I was walking in this direction, feeding off of the things of the world, heading toward the devil's tail. But when God changed me, when he saved me, he changed my walk. Now I'm walking with him. He's walking with me. Sometimes he has to slap me pretty good to keep me walking straight. But he knows how. I'm his child. He knows how to chastise me. He knows how to correct me. Keep me walking in the straight and narrow way. And I thank God for that. I thank God for his presence. His witness changed in verse 9. And all the people saw him walking. Listen to that now. All the people saw him walking and praising God. He had something to be thankful for, didn't he? Amen. He had a lot to be thankful for, didn't he? Can I tell you something? If you're saved, if you've been born again, you got a lot to be thankful for. Let me tell you, we're not promised tomorrow. We could leave this old world before morning, or Jesus could come back before we walk out these doors tonight. And I'm glad I got my eternity settled. This old boy, no wonder. He was a walking and praising God. The miracles anointing. But notice the miracles amazement. Lastly, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed, hail Peter and John. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. You know, when you get saved and your life changes, All them old folks you used to run with, they run from you then. But I got to feel like they're probably amazed at what God's done in your life to change your walk. And all these folks that had been spent days and years walking by this old lame man, and now he's up on his feet walking and praising God. A great miracle has taken place in his life. Let me tell you something. If you're a born-again child of God, there's a miracle that took place in your life. The Holy Ghost sought you out, convicted you, drawed you to a place of repentance and salvation, forgive you of your sins, come in to indwell forever, give you a home in heaven. Now you ain't got to worry about dying and going to hell. What a miracle has taken place in our lives. We ought to be like this old lame man, leaping and walking and praising God. Amen. We got a lot to be thankful for. From lame to lifted. Glad I've been saved. God's grace is still amazing, isn't it? Amen. That He would reach out and save a wretch like me and you. His grace is amazing. Thank you for your attention tonight. I appreciate your prayers. And I appreciate the privilege.
With you today, Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 26. Levi done a good job singing too. Amen. Glad Darius wanted to join the church. Always good to see young people want to unite with the family of God. Matthew 26. I'd like to start reading today in verse 36. I want to preach on a word that I've wanted to preach on for several years. I've never preached on it. Hope it'll be a blessing to you. It's something I found out in life you better get a hold of. You better have it down in your heart. Jesus used the word, and I'd like to springboard out of this text with a thought. The Bible said, "Then cometh Jesus with them to a place called Gethsemane. He said to the disciples, Set ye here while I go and pray yonder." He's soon to go to Calvary. He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, who were James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, watch with me." Verse 39, "And he went a little farther. He fell on his face and he prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible." You ever seen that in that text? If it be possible, "let this cup pass from me." And here's the term, "nevertheless. Not as I will, but as thou wilt." You may be seated this morning. As I look back across the last weeks of February of what God has sent in preaching, we had a great brotherhood. A man preached on a different thought of when Peter got out of the boat to go to Jesus. Brother Bobby, last Sunday morning, the service really got good. Brother Brian, and God is moving. And just trying to mind him. I look, it's about 11:45, and I called Brother Bobby up. I said, "Brother Bobby, I'm sorry I've got you up this late. You just share your heart." And I'll be honest with you, since it's about 11:45, Brother Brian, I thought maybe he'd just brag on Jesus a little bit. I wanted to honor him. He's a missionary. We support him. He does a great work throughout the country with the legislation, the governors. But he had a word for our church about the prodigal son, about where God had given him his inheritance and what did he do with it. I think we all left here that God has spoke to our hearts about what are we going to do with what God has given us. because he's given us all a whole lot. I don't want to waste it with righteous living. As I said earlier today, before I got saved, I did a lot of things I'm ashamed of, and I mean that. But I've never regretted the day that the Lord saved me. And this word, nevertheless, I found out in walking with the Lord, just going through life, that I had to have this word in my heart, nevertheless. It'll help you if you really think about it. Everybody here, young families, older families, young people, if you'll get this word nevertheless nailed down in your heart, you'll go a long way in life. You'll go a long way with God. Matter of fact, it has to do, I asked Renee about it. I said, honey, what does nevertheless mean to you? And she made this statement, even though. I use it in this term, in spite of, or even though, Lord, may your will be done, will I take your word at heart and follow you and mind you. You see, nevertheless is the word spoken when my feelings say quit. Anybody ever had your feelings say quit? When your logic says no. Now, God, that don't make sense to me. You want me to do this, and my logic says no to that. When my feelings say quit, my logic says no. But when my heart says it hurts, God, you're asking me to do this. So this morning, I want to preach on this subject just a few minutes. Three passages where it's found I want to use. This is the title of the message, Nevertheless, Choosing God Despite the Struggle. Choosing God Despite the Struggle. You'll notice here as Christ used this term, nevertheless, he used it in spite of his encounter. The encounters of life. We all are going to encounter some things in life that we didn't sign up for. And I'd love to tell you, because you love Jesus and you're trying to live right, that you won't encounter hard things in your life, but you will. And I will. But aren't you glad we got a God that will go through the encounters with us? We got a church family that will reach out to us in these encounters of life. So here, Jesus used nevertheless in spite of the encounter. There was a cup involved. He's headed to Calvary. You'll notice in our text in verse number 39, he said, in spite of the encounter, we see the sight of the cup. The sight of the cup. He went a little farther, as the young man sang earlier, and fell on his face and prayed, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Using the term nevertheless, when it's inside of the cup, he saw clearly what was ahead, the emotional weight of becoming sin that had never known sin. But yet he became sin for us, but yet he never did sin. God judged your sin and my sin on his Son. The Bible speaks of this, about the sight of the cup. He saw clearly what was ahead of him. Then the sorrow of the cup. The Bible said in verse 38, he was exceedingly sorrowful. Could you imagine that all of the sins in the world God put in this cup and handed to his Son, and he bore it all on the cross for you and I? There's the sight of the cup, the sorrow of the cup. There's the struggle of the cup. Look what Jesus said in verse 39. I never noticed this till yesterday. My Father, if it be possible. Now here is the God-man. Here is God manifested in the flesh. Jesus was God. He was also man. And on the humanity side, we see his feelings. Yet he had never sinned. All of the sin in the world was going to be placed upon him. He was not the sinner. He died for the sinner. And that sin of this cup was placed upon him. And so there's the struggle of this cup. If it be possible, the holy tension between his humanity and the horrors of wrath were pulling at him. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, a very weighty verse, for here Paul's writing, he says to the church of Corinth, speaking about Jesus, for he hath made him, God has, made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Can you imagine that just all the sin in this building today was placed in this cup that the Lord was fixing to have to drink, take it to Calvary and die for the sins of the world? Not only just the sins of this building would be so mind-boggling, but yet the sins of the whole wide world. There was a lot in his cup. Some of you may be facing things in your cup that you even asked the Lord, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But yet Jesus knew. Jesus had already agreed to go to the cross. But it was so heavy upon him as a man in his humanity. Lord, if it be possible, let it pass. But it was not possible. For God had already selected that his son would die for you and me. Aren't you glad we didn't have to die for our sin? But there was an scapegoat sent. There Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. Oh my goodness. And he used the word nevertheless in spite of his encounter. The sight of the cup, the sorrow of the cup, the struggle of that cup, but the salvation of the cup. Because he drank it, we don't have to. I'm glad he died in our place. I'm glad I don't have to die and go to hell in my sins. It's so sad what people believe. I don't bring in politics in the church, but I do believe a man ought to tell his people what is right. And let me tell you something. Buddha and Muhammad's not going to get you to heaven. And that, I don't even have a word for him that was disposed of yesterday when he stepped out and met God. If he didn't know Jesus, he's burning in hell today. And I don't care, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Christ is the way and the only way to heaven. It'll never change. They think that when they die, they get all of these things, even 10 virgins. I bet that didn't work out good for them. I say that with not apology this morning. I believe in my Bible. You better know the Lord Jesus when you die. This thing ain't a political thing. It's a Jesus thing. He died for the sins of this world. Would somebody help me preach this morning? So he used the word nevertheless. Now I want to say today, because he drank it, we don't have to. Do you realize Jesus took your place on the cross? You don't have to die and go to hell. He's paid the price for your sin. But you must believe and trust Christ to be your Savior. He said you must be born again. Choosing God despite the struggle, in spite of the encounter, you know, there's some cups the Lord has handed me that I didn't want to drink of either, but nothing like this cup. But some of you have been handed cups in life. And I want to say you need to understand this word, nevertheless, even though, or in spite of. Lord, we're going to trust you. Reach in and get the nevertheless. Nevertheless, Lord, I'm going to trust you with this encounter in life that I just encountered. Be careful. Brother Randall and them lost their house Thursday night. Be careful to say, I know how you feel. We don't know how they feel. You that have lost a child, a spouse, we may have similarities, but we don't know exactly how one feels because we all have different makeup and we're all different. But I come to tell you, I'm preaching about one this morning that does know how we feel. And when these encounters in life come, young people, instead of throwing your hands down and quitting, you've got to say, nevertheless, Lord, I'm going to trust you. Nevertheless, it's helped so many of our Bible heroes to make it through. It's helped many of you to make it through. So when here Jesus gives the example about the encounters of life, he used the word nevertheless. In spite of the encounters, and I want to use Luke 5, it's used again. In spite of the exhaustion, one of my Bible heroes is here, Luke 5. His name is Simon Peter. In Luke 5, the Bible said it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. He saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships that was Simon's and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, look what he said. We've toiled all the night. We've taken nothing. And here's our phrase. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And watch, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. We see use the term nevertheless in spite of the encounter, but here we see it's used in spite of exhaustion. I want to say, use nevertheless when our efforts are final. We're just done. You ever just been done? I mean, you know, everybody wants to put on a nice smile on Sunday, but really down there where the rubber meets the road, have you just ever want to been done with what you was doing? Just done with it. Any of y'all ever been raising young'uns, you just want to be done? Any of you down at your job, you just want to be done with it? Y'all are so phony acting. Done. When efforts are final. You say, why you say that? Well, look what they've done, Brother Brian. They saw two ships standing by, but the fishermen were going out of them and they was washing their nets. We're done with this. We've give up on it. We've quit it. We're done with it. Nevertheless is a great word to have that in your heart. It's a great word to have in your soul. When your efforts are final, you've done parked your boat, you're done with it. The fishermen was gone out of them. And I can tell you so many Christians I've met, and I'm not going to throw rocks, honey, because it could be at my house in the morning. But there ain't no quitting place for God. Ain't no time to tie our boat up. It's time to get in and go the other side. Throw our nets down of what God has told us to do. Oh, nevertheless, I help you go another mile. Nevertheless, it's more things important than me. And the problem with not using nevertheless most of the time because we think too much of me. Too much of us, nevertheless. You know, when efforts are final. Verse 5, when energy's finished. You ever been out of gas? I mean, son, just zap. You ain't got no more in you. Verse 5, Simon said to him, Master, you need to know something. Said, we've toiled all the night. Life gets hard. Young families, so many times when your energy's finished and your efforts are final and you're wanting to give up. Young people, seems like you've done all you can do and it's just flying back in your face. You've prayed, you've done all you know to do, but it seems like now that your energy's finished. I'm done with it. We've toiled all the night. It's been hard. Can I tell you, life is hard. This ain't Joel Osteen preaching this morning. Life is hard. They toiled all the night. It was dark. There was sweat involved. And some of you young people, before you're ever going to amount to anything for God or in life, you're going to have to realize God made some sweat glands on you so you could work a little. Toil. When efforts are final, when energy is finished. But look, when your experience has failed, verse 5, they've taken nothing. Now this is the deal. Simon Peter was real good at what he did. He was a fisherman by trade. They done toiled all the night. They've caught nothing. Jesus come walking up and said, why is these boats around here tied up? Who's done tied their boat up and quit? You know what he done? He stepped right up in their boat. He said, well, I'll just use this to preach a sermon. And he said, let down your nets for a drought. They were so experienced, so they knew it so good. They said, man, what you talking about? I'm the fisherman here. You know, a lot of times we get too smart for our own good. We think we got everything figured out. But can I tell you, the God I'm preaching about this morning ain't never had to think about nothing. He knows everything. Then this word's inserted. Peter had it. You can throw rocks at Peter if you want to, but I'll tell you what he did have. He had a nevertheless. He said, we've taken nothing, but nevertheless. In spite of failure, Lord, in spite of my expertise, and as good as I am at what I'm doing, and I ain't got nothing, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do what you told me to do. Look what he told him to do. Let down your nets for a drought. And when they had this done, let me ask you something. You ever been let down? You ever been let down in something or someone? Or maybe even yourself? Boy, Brother Mike, I've been let down in me a lot of times. I mean, I think I got this flesh under control, and somebody pulled by me and I break out in road rage. Somebody say amen. I don't enjoy mean, rude people. But nevertheless, I'm gonna let down the net, Lord, what you said. And when they had this done, then closed the great multitude of fish. I wonder, could your next let down be your biggest blessing in your life? They were done with the letdowns. I mean, they was absolutely exhausted with letdowns. And I want to give you some good counseling this morning. Nevertheless can save your marriage. Nevertheless can let you be the Christian God wants you to be. Nevertheless can let you be the parent God wants you to be. Nevertheless, can let you be a friend to somebody that needs a friend. In spite of, even though, nevertheless. When efforts are final, when the energy's finished and your experience has failed, they've taken nothing. By using this word, nevertheless, they got their boat loaded. You see that? If they hadn't done what God told them to do and hadn't inserted this word nevertheless, look what they would have missed. I wonder what me and you have missed in life because we didn't put pride by the side and said, Lord, now look, I'm educated. I'm real good at what I do. Matter of fact, Lord, I know so much about this, I really don't need you to give me instructions about it. Wonder what we've missed because we not said nevertheless. There's been a few times at my house. Mama will be married about 47 years December. Is that right? I'm close. Ty's been a few times. She's had to say nevertheless. I'm living with Ken, nevertheless. Some of y'all think this is not right, but about this nevertheless, when God saved me, me and Renee was young, and she was stirring green beans on the oven. God come to her and spoke to her, stirring them green beans. Troy, and he said, "You're going to be a preacher's wife." And you know what she said? "What you going to do with Ken?" She had to say nevertheless sometimes. Because none of us are perfect. Because we need the Lord. When your heart's been ripped out, your best friend has left you and your money's gone, you got to say sometimes, nevertheless, Lord, I'm serving you and I'm going to trust you through all of this. Nevertheless. Lastly, nevertheless, in spite of encounters, nevertheless, in spite of exhaustion, most of our young preachers are out preaching this morning at other churches, but if they was here, I'd like to tell them this, maybe some listening by internet today. If you're going to do anything for God, you better find this word nevertheless. Put it deep down in your heart. And young families, if you're going to make it in life, you better grab a hold of what I'm preaching this morning. Nevertheless, it ain't about me. It's about you, Lord. What you need done. Because, Lord, I know you know everything, and I don't understand some things. Christ with this cup. He said, "Lord, if it be possible." But it wasn't possible. He had to take of that cup. Some of you had to take a drink out of a cup I hope I'll never have to drink out of. But I hope you find this word nevertheless today. God, I'm going to trust you. You see, nevertheless, in spite of encounters, in spite of exhaustion, but I close, nevertheless, in spite of emotions. Paul said something in Philippians 1, 21. "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What a great statement. "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two." In other words, he said, I'm between a rock and a hard place. "Having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." It'd be a lot easier to get out of here, Lord. But he inserts this word, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh, it's more needful for you. In spite of emotions, you see the pull, the conflict and desires to live as Christ, to die as gain. Paul felt pulled between continuing ministry and being a blessing to people and personal rest in Christ in heaven. Our emotions often tug us in opposing directions. The pull, the pressures, the weight of responsibility of helping others. Look what he said in verse 22. "But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor." In other words, I'm working, Lord. I'm seeing fruit coming out of it. the pressure, the weight of responsibility of helping others. The pull, the pressure, the pain. Paul didn't pretend his emotions were easy. He controlled them. Then the purpose, Paul sets aside his emotion in light of God's mission. Verse 24, he said, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." He said, "Y'all," he said, "I fought a good fight. I've been stoned, soon to be shipwrecked. I've been beaten with stripes. I've been bound in prisons. Been in some hard places." And he said, "Going to heaven would be real easy for me. I could just leave this place and go to heaven." But he said, "Nevertheless, somebody needs me. And can I tell you, there's others that need you this morning." I've heard this a lot. What is God's purpose? Why? God has a purpose. That purpose many times is to help others. But nevertheless, when you feel like it, you're done, and it'd be so much easier just to go to heaven. Y'all ever had a day? Now I'm done preaching. Y'all ever had a day when you woke up and said, "Lord, if I went to heaven this morning, sure would be a lot easier instead of what I got a fool with today." Anybody ever been there? Maybe I'm the only one ever been. Y'all ever been there? But then I get to thinking, "Lord, look what you've entrusted me with. Maybe somebody needs a friend. Somebody needs some help. Nevertheless, in spite of our emotions, it's not about us. It's about Him. I'm thankful God's let me meet some people. Found out it wasn't about them, but it was about Him. They buried my pastor a few weeks ago. He had that mindset. Boy, it'd been easier for him, Brother David, just to go on to heaven, but he stayed around and helped me a while." Well, I hope I'd help you this morning. Nevertheless, keep it close to you. Things get to acting up at home. Nevertheless, Lord. You walk out in the cemetery. Nevertheless. They laugh at you and turn their back on you. Remember this. Nevertheless, Lord. Serve you and trust you. Young families, when everybody else around you is doing the wrong thing, trying to pull you to doing wrong, you say, "Nevertheless, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." Brother Mike, nobody told me. Miss Sherry, you come. We're going to let the ushers come. I'm not going to give an invitation. They've done come pray. Brother Mike, Brother David, y'all tune in.